Welcome to the NLX Dynasty Daily Podcast. I'm your host, Jordan McNamara, and we are diving into the Dallas Cowboys offense. This one's not a ton of mystery, so that's good. In terms of feelings about particular players in this one, we'll walk through it, but this one shouldn't be too much of a surprise. Again, you have to take the 2020 stats a little bit with a caveat with the fact that Dak Prescott was injured in the fifth game of the season. So you basically got two-thirds of the season without Dak Prescott, your new $100-some-odd million man. Pass rate, 65.6%. That's ninth. 22nd in terms of yards per attempt. That's 7.06. Play action, 26th in the league. We want that to go higher. Red zone rushing rate, 22nd in the league. Dak kept clean, 72% of his throws. That is 10th. 8.9 yards per attempt. That's fourth. Love to see it. Under pressure, 13th. So 6.6. Again, I don't think anything there is totally unreasonable in terms of his performance. Like, it was a huge start to the season. A lot of that was splits in terms of how often he was throwing, those sorts of things. But it's not on a rate basis. You wouldn't look at that and be like, that's totally unsustainable. Like, that's not what he can do. He's pretty good. 13th in terms of PFF grade when kept clean, 16th when under pressure. So, again, pretty neutral there. Play action for Dak was actually 27.9. So it's actually up over what it was without Dak. So 16th in the league there, 9.3 yards per attempt on play action, 8.0 on non-play action. It was actually third in the league. 13th in ADOT on non-play action at 8.8. Interestingly, 36th in terms of ADOT on play action. So that's actually pretty quizzical. It's 6.9 there. So that's pretty quizzical in terms of that split. That's odd. You would think that would be not so dink and dunk, if you will, on the play action stuff there with Dak. So that'd be just something to keep in mind. You know, are they exploiting that? Is that something that could unlock some ceiling if they go can expand the verticality of their play action throws? Over expectation, 2.7% over completion percentage over expectation, second best in his career. 2020 was the least amount of aggressive throws in his career, so that's 15.3%. So everything sort of checks out in terms of it was a really good season. Nothing screams regression from it. Again, small sample, obviously. And I think maybe the passing volume and just the defense can't be that bad. Got to shoot it out every game, that sort of thing. But still plenty of weapons. Blake Jarwin's back. You know, another year of CeeDee Lamb. We'll see how that all goes. So running backs, 15th in terms of routes at 0.82. 14th in terms of targets at 0.15. 0.11 receptions per dropback. That's 19th. And 0.74, 22nd. In terms of yards per drop back for the running back position. The wide receivers at 2.87 routes per drop back. That's 7th, 8th in terms of targets at 0.54, 0.36 in terms of receptions per drop back. That's 10th, and 4.53 yards per drop back. That is 11th, 0.95 routes per drop back for the tight end position. That's 26th, 0.14 targets per dropback, that is 26.11 receptions per dropback, 22nd, and 1.03 yards per dropback, that is 22nd. So I do think there is a potential change. I think Blake Jarwin maybe can add something upon what Dalton Schultz did. Schultz, largely a volume tight end producer last year. On the, if you were to sort of look at the molds, you know, the Logan Thomas will forever be the huge volume guy at the tight end position, and just sort of aggregating, right? He's the aggregator mold of the position. Schultz basically operated in that sense, 85th in terms of targets. He had 14.3 40% of the targets, which is actually a really healthy number. So that's interesting in terms of that. Again, aggregating basically 1.1 yards per route run. See, that checks out. 553 routes. Yep, that checks out. 1.74 points per target there for Schultz. Blake Jarwin returns. That's a pretty healthy number. Again, if you think he's maybe 10% better than Schultz, 20% better, I don't know what your sort of bullishness on Jarwin is, but I think there's absolutely some ceiling there that he can maybe unlock if you believe he's a significantly better player. It's a small sample size to say that he is. You know, we'll see. I know they paid him and those sorts of things. We'll see there. I was listening to an analysis. I think it was The Athletic that did it. Talking about basically a portion of CeeDee Lamb's route tree was basically what Jarwin would have been running. So that's an interesting tidbit there in terms of what he was, a lot of the areas in which he was actually running his routes were areas which you would expect Jarwin to have done. Schultz was a little bit different in terms of the structure there. It didn't have, you know, it was more straight liney type player there. So just keep that in mind. Things could change a little bit with Jarwin. I think, you know, that's more to say, like, I don't think it's necessarily a static thing in terms of usage between how these guys were used in terms of running routes, where they're running routes, volume of running routes, target percentage, and that sort of thing. Okay, the receiver position, a 21.5% target share for Cooper, and that is 128 targets. So that's really good. He was on an elite track when Dak was healthy and still finished pretty well. So 1.81 yards per route run, that's really good. 1.82 points per target, that's perfectly in line with the average. I think that's actually right at the average number. So that's healthy there for Cooper and completely sustainable. CeeDee Lamb, 109 targets. That's just over 18% of the target share. Also 1.81 yards per route run. He had 1.8 points per target as well. So performed very similar to Cooper in terms of some of the splits there. Gallup, 98 targets, 16.5 target percentage, 1.34 yards per route run. Here's the big difference. 631 routes for Gallup, 516 for Lamb. Like, it's a three-game difference. It's just incredible. It's just an incredible stat. So I would just exercise some caution there with Lamb if he's going to be pigeonholed into a slot role. Again, it's a very high percentage of his routes came from the slot, and things can change, but that gives me some pause in terms of projecting this huge volume where, hey, he's going to go outside and sort of take over. Maybe that's true. Like, that absolutely could be true. But I will say it's faith, right? It's belief without evidence. And they ran just a ton of stuff through Gallup on the outside. 93.2% of CeeDee Lamb's snaps came in the slot. That is second in the league behind Anthony Miller. To give you an idea, the next most slot snaps was Cole Beasley at 88%. So it's just a huge difference in terms of where Lamb was over Beasley. And, you know, if they are not comfortable with him out wide, he took 35 snaps out wide last year, 6.5%, 504 snaps in the slot. I have pause about him being a full-on outside guy, if that is what they're going to do. And if that's, you know, if they're going to operate in a scenario where they only run, a 2.87 routes per dropback at seventh in the league, there's two outside wide receivers, and then there's a slot guy. That's going to sort of take away some of the CeeDee Lamb routes, ultimately. And if Jarwin's going to run some slot stuff too, like, if that's what they envision with him, I mean, I have a lot of pause about Lamb being a huge volume guy to sustain what his cost is at this particular point. So that's just a pause that I have with Lamb. Again, maybe he takes over a huge role. We'll see. It's a lot of concern that I have there. Gallup, 93.7% of his snaps were out wide. So again, that led the league. If CeeDee Lamb's not going to eat into that, we've got a volume concern. So that's just the point that I would have some caution about. I know that there's been positive buzz in terms of some of the reports coming out of camp. He looks good and all this stuff. We really need to see him lining up out wide. And honestly, if we don't see that like early on in the season, it's just going to be additional confirmation. This theory that I wrote about in the book, which is we only see a very small portion of a player's life. And, you know, what we see, hey, in the film or watching the game on Sundays or in the stats, even as we look back right now, it's a very small percentage of their life. It's a very small percentage of what the interaction with the team is and the player development. If you're going to have a very limited role for a team, that gives me pause, right? And this is kind of the Juju Smith-Schuster scenario when, you know, oh, like, yeah, if things go well, like, hey, you know, he could be the wide receiver one. And then we saw what happened, and it really, like, he doesn't really profile as a wide receiver one, and now everyone sort of wrote him off. It's kind of like these things, history doesn't repeat itself, but patterns reappear. And this is one that I would just say, like, hey, this, there's a level of caution here. And, you know, I've talked about it on Twitter. I've talked about it in the GroupMe chat, and you know, people don't want to hear this stat, which is interesting to me. Again, I've come too far in my dynasty career, and I've lived too many of the mistakes of just, coronations of players based on limited samples and not being critical enough. And that's cost me, right? It's those things have hurt. And this is one where I just say, like, hey, there's reasons to be skeptical here and be careful of cost. And if this sort of stays the same and next year, like, I don't know, is he going to go up in cost? Like, for example, he's projected to finish 13th at Football Guys. Cooper's 14th. I mean, there's a huge difference. There's a two to three round difference in cost. I mean, that's an easy decision to me. The interesting part is if Lamb does that, he's almost in the DJ Moore scenario where he's kind of got those two medium finishes. Is that actually going to put him up? Like, this is actually the start to Amari Cooper's career. Is that actually going to put him up as wide receiver 5 in Dynasty? Again, like that, we've seen how that story has played out where you get a couple of seasons of a guy and then you get this all of a sudden – it's a middling wide receiver 2 type production, even a high-end wide receiver 2 type production. We vault him to elite wide receiver 1 type scenario, and then they never live up to that. This alignment, this playing 3 games less than Gallup, that gives me some pause. So that's sort of where my concern for Lamb comes from. And, you know, I've talked about it, and I don't want to harp on it, but I think it warrants some explanation because I am skeptical of his cost. So, and when there's a really high end player that I'm skeptical of his cost, I think it warrants explaining and maybe over covering it just so that way it is clear. Okay. So the projections here from Football Guys, Dak Prescott, quarterback 5, love it. He's got an RDP of quarterback 4. So we like that. Ezekiel Elliott, running back 10, like that's basically kind of like his floor, what it's been in his career. I think that he's got really nice 2021 upside. So we'll see there with how that goes. Pollard, 45th. Again, he's more of an injury away type guy. As the aforementioned Lamb, 13th in terms of projections. Cooper, 14th. Gallup, 37th. So again, hunting out. And listen, if someone gets hurt, it'd be really interesting to see what Gallup could do. Again, it was a lot of his routes were not targeted, but he ran a ton of his routes. you know, and on the routes that he was targeted, he basically performed about in line with expectation. The question is he going to see more, right? That's really my concern question mark there with him. Jarwin projects as tight end 20. So projecting basically top six quarterback, running back one, two wide receiver twos, a wide receiver three fringe guy, and a tight end two. So plenty of value here. If there's an injury, that would be really interesting from a value proposition. Just could that vault Jarwin, for example, into like a Logan Thomas type of potential role? Like that's possible. But I think Schultz is probably going to see some volume too. So that would sort of be my caution against Jarwin being a, you know, high end production guy, just because I think Schultz has probably done enough to just, you know, linger around and you know, even if it's a 70-30 split, it's probably gonna hurt Jarwin's ultimate upside. So, well, that'll do it for this episode. The Dallas Cowboys, again, I've talked about this quite a bit, and I'm a huge Dak Prescott fan, so you know, you kind of know where I'm coming from on this one. I like the offense quite a bit. And, you know, I didn't mention before, but Dak Prescott been above expectation every season of his career. I just really good quarterback. So in terms of completion percentage over expectation, just really good quarterback. So, all right, well, that'll do it for this episode. Until next time, continue embracing the variance. We'll talk again very soon.